All right. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Derek Robinson. I hail from Harvest City Church in Regina. Woo! And I don't know if you read my bio and that sort of thing. I'll get into some of what I have done in my past and why I feel qualified to talk about this topic. It's a very important topic. We live in a very noisy, distracted culture these days. And as a church, we have to figure out how we're going to talk about ourselves. How are we actually going to market ourselves? How are we going to attract people to our church? This thing is complicated. Marketing is not easy. Have you tried marketing before? It's kind of difficult. And so I'm going to provide, I think, some really practical things today that will simplify it for you. I'll make it, it'll get really complicated for a bit, and then it's going to get really simple. So you're going to be, you know, your brain's going to be going for a bit, and then you're going to realize, okay, this is really what I need to do. And why I feel so passionate about marketing and why I've been such a student of it is because in order to create a mass following of people, you have to know, the people have to know what your message is, what your vision is, what you're talking about. You have to be able to communicate that to them so clearly. And why I also say noisy and distracted culture is because of this number, 4,000. That is the number of marketing messages North Americans hear or see every single day. 4,000 marketing messages. And some people say it's more like 10,000. Some people say 3,000. I was taught in university 4,000, which is a lot. And if you walk into pretty much any store, you go on the internet for a little bit, you even look at the products in your bathroom, there's marketing messages everywhere. Brands are constantly trying to talk to you. And with the internet nowadays, it's even crazier. You're just bombarded by stuff. And the best way I can describe this is by showing you Times Square in 1930. Look at that. It's so nice. It's so simple. It's still busy. It's New York City in the 1930s, so it's still busy. But look there. If I want to have a great night, it's very clear what I need to do. I need to buy an Admiral television, get my Canadian Club and my Pepsi, and smoke my Camel cigarettes. I'm going to have a great night. So that was the 1930s. What does it look like today? Looks like that. It's complicated. That represents the average person's brain that you're trying to attract to church. There's a lot going on in there. It is not simple whatsoever. It's very noisy. It's very distracted. It used to be so simple, so nice, just like this. And now it's more like this. Some other key stats is that people look at their phones on average 80 times per day. It's a lot of times you're constantly looking at that thing. 7 in 10 Canadians, and I think it's Americans too, are on Facebook daily. We are dealing with people that are addicted to their cell phones, and they're bombarded with messages all the time. Even if you think of Wayne Gretzky, I was thinking about this the other day. When Wayne Gretzky first was in the NHL, he was on the ice, and there was only one brand on the ice that you could visibly see. It was the Edmonton Oilers logo. Terrible logo, terrible team. Toronto Maple Leafs is way better. Yeah, I seem like Winnipeg Jets are good. Does that help work here? But that was the only thing on the ice was the Edmonton Oilers logo. Now you look at the ice surface, it's full of stuff. If you go to Europe, their jerseys are even full of everything. They're like NASCARs. But you go look at the crowd, it's full of advertisements. It's nonstop advertisement everywhere. So in this noisy, distracted culture, my one message to you is to have one message. Not four or five messages. You have to have one simple message. And the first thing that I have to talk about here quickly is you say, oh, Derek, good news. I got myself a mission statement. I got my message. It's all done. No worries. I got this thing. Well, I've done this kind of talk to a few different people, and I say, hey, what's your mission statement to like CEOs and church leaders and that type of thing? And they have to like think about it for a bit, and like, it starts like this, and then there's like a bunch of adjectives that I can kind of remember them, but kind of not. And you'll be surprised of how leaders of churches and organizations, they can't even say their own mission statement quickly. Like, they have a hard time remembering it. So if they can't remember it, how are your followers going to remember it? How's your employees going to remember it? Mission statements, this is typically how they work, is you go into a big room full of your leaders, you spend 2 days of strategic planning, you come up with a mission statement, and no one ever looks at it ever again. Except for like the annual retreat or something like that. It's not actually particularly helpful. It's good for setting a foundation, kind of a core, but if you're not reminded of that mission statement sometime, what you actually are as a church, what your meaning is, what your purpose is, where you're going. If you don't have any of that sorted out in actual words, it's going to be a struggle for anyone to understand why you matter. Why should they show up to your church? Why should they give to your church? Why should they volunteer? They're not going to know if it's buried in a mission statement. They're not particularly helpful. And the other kind of objection I get when I talk about this stuff is, well, Derek, we're all the church. We all have the same message. It's all the message of Jesus, right? It's just like, well, we're, you know, make disciples, go to all the world, make disciples of all the nations. And that's true. That is the missions of the church is all the same. But everybody comes at it a little bit differently. In marketing, it's called a marketing tilt. And the best way I can describe this is just understanding how unique every church is within the body of Christ is you think of Apple computers. Apple makes computers, or maybe more realistically, electronic devices. But so does IBM, so does HP, so does Google, so does Sony, so does Microsoft. They all make computers. But when I say the name Apple, or I say the name Google or Microsoft, you will instantly start thinking of a list of things in your head that those people, those companies, have been branding to you over the years of what they're all about and why they matter, and why you should buy from them, and why you should do things with them. That's what you need for your church, because you're actually unique. Apple and Microsoft, they kind of do the same thing, really, but they come at it completely different ways, right? Microsoft is more geared towards businesses. Apple is more of a self-empowerment, rage against the man type of a brand. Think different. Remember that advertising campaign they talked about? Apple's so much different than Microsoft. They're not even close, even though they do the exact same thing. So as a church, you have a unique mission. You have a unique approach in the way you get at the gospel that other churches just won't do. And so you have to have a unique message to go along with that. And like I said before, in order to create that mass movement of followers, people need to know what they're following. Just to say you should show up to church because it's a good idea doesn't work. It doesn't pull anybody. You need to have a message that's clear, that's bold, that packs a punch, that actually like pulls someone into your church, that pulls someone into your following. And it's got to be one message. Ideally, you would have it in three words. Three words. Sounds like a slogan. That's the challenge. But if I give you some slogans here, you'll know what I'm talking about here. Got milk. Remember that one? That's a slogan from 1993. That's still in use right now. Just do it. 1988 from Nike. They haven't changed it since then. It's part of their self-empowerment brand. Nike is very much all about empowering the individual. Just do it. It's a very empowering type of a thing. You look at all their advertising, it's all about self-empowerment of the individual. That's what their company is about. And if you talk to anyone at Nike, that's all they will ever talk about, is empowering individuals. That's who their brand is. Melt in your mouth, not in your hands. You ever know that one? 1954. That's been going. A nice light snack. Breakfast of champions. Wheaties. If you eat our cereal, you will be a champion. You know when that one was created? 1927. They're still using it. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. There's so many. There's an unlimited amount of examples of this. But why do big brands do this? Because it works. And also because it's noisy out there. You can only get one message through. It's too difficult to get five messages through. You can only really capture someone's attention once. And people going to your church, they have to know what this one message is. It is imperative that they know the vision, and you can sum it up in one clear statement, or ideally two or three words. If you can get there, you're going to be winning. People are going to be able to follow you because they know what they're following. And the perfect case study of why I'm so convinced about this is what I've been doing for the past 6.5 years. Is I've been working for this guy until he retired. His name is Brad Wall, if you're familiar with him. He's the former premier of Saskatchewan for the past decade. And he was the most popular premier for pretty much the entire time that he was premier. So most popular premier in Canada. And I think the main reason why is because he is a fantastic marketer. He's very, very skilled at marketing and developing one message and sticking with it. And the case study that I have is, and just a little bit of background, I worked in the Premier's office. I was his chief of digital strategy. And so I got to really play around with this stuff. Like, I got to spend millions of dollars on advertising, radio, TV, online, billboards, brochures, everything. I got to do it all. It was fun. I had a really good time. And I learned a ton about how you do this stuff. And the case study I have is the last election. I fought two elections with them. We all go into what's called a war room for 30 days during an election. And that's all you do is market for 30 days. That's all you do from like 7 in the morning to like 11 o'clock at night. That's all you're doing is reaching out to people through marketing. It's really interesting, really stressful and difficult, but also quite invigorating. And during that election, we crushed our competition. So I'm not trying to get all political on you today, but this is just kind of history, is we were up against the NDP. It's kind of a two-party system in Saskatchewan, really. And we absolutely crushed them. It was one of the biggest victories ever in Saskatchewan history. And just to kind of contrast what we're up against the NDP, and this is kind of their strategies, that they did a lot of stuff. They were very active. They had as much money as we did, and they had more promises, they had more events, they had more ads, they had more slogans, more news releases, social media. They had a lot of noise, but they didn't have a really strong message. More noise, less message. And I'll tell you why, is because after the election, I actually went through and I identified all their slogans and taglines and all their messages that they were trying to pump out in about, I don't know, about a 90-day period. And I'm not going to read all those, but it's designed to show you that that is overwhelming for people. It's too much stuff. And they might have had a winning slogan or message in there, but they didn't stick with anything long enough to actually get it through into people's minds. They just said a bunch of stuff. And so what we did was totally different, is we had less noise, we had more message. Keep Saskatchewan strong. That's all we talked about for 2 years prior to that election. So starting about end of 2013, 2014, that's literally all we talked about. And even our kind of negative piece, the contrast piece, don't let the NDP take us back, it was taking you back to a weaker Saskatchewan, where we wanted to have a strong Saskatchewan. And so that was the mass movement that people could follow, is if you want a strong Saskatchewan, if you want a Saskatchewan that's leading the nation, keep Saskatchewan strong, you vote for Brad Wall. That's what you do. Keep Saskatchewan strong. And so in everything that we did, end of every commercial, on every billboard, on every social media post that we possibly could, it all had this central message. And I don't have to talk about the last slide. It was just how we crushed them, which was good. So the key thing to remember from that case study is less messages, more often. Reduce the amount of things you're trying to say and just say the same thing over and over and over and over again until you're honestly sick of it. Until some of your key people that are around you all the time are talking to you about how sick they are of it. I'm serious. I'm not joking about this. During the election, I remember, all the staff were completely tired of talking about this message, completely tired of it. Even the reporters that would show up a lot would say, "Keep Saskatchewan strong, we get it, Brad, thanks." Like, they were so tired of it. And, like, we had our contrast message, too, which was part of keeping Saskatchewan strong. But they got so sick of it. And we have, you know, we spend millions of dollars on polling. Politicians do this. Political parties do this. And what we found was, after 2 years of marketing, by the second week of the campaign, our message was starting to finally hit home. It took 2 years of intense effort, millions of dollars of advertising, and that keeps Saskatchewan strong message, the contrast between us and the NDP, was starting to have an impact. That's how long it took. And I'll just show you some practical examples here. The billboard "Keep Saskatchewan Strong" is obviously on there. The top right there is our platform announcement, our plan to keep Saskatchewan strong. Even when we announced the election, you can see it's just everywhere. It's official. I just saw the lieutenant governor to start the election. There's a clear choice on April 4th. Keep Saskatchewan strong or go back to decline under the NDP. Contrast between weak and strong. Right there. And even in the picture, there's a "Keep Saskatchewan Strong." Whatever we talked about, we tried to incorporate it in everything. So when we talk about more people working, more job growth, let's keep doing that. Let's keep Saskatchewan strong. He's even, when we talked about meeting mayors and different things, "I'm going to go meet the mayor of Weyburn City Council, and we're going to talk about how to keep Saskatchewan strong." It was ad nauseum, you guys. I'm serious. But that's how you have to get a message through. And there's a lot of psychology to this. In marketing, they call it the rule of seven. And the rule of seven says that for anyone to actually understand your message, For it to even resonate in their minds, you have to say it to them 7 times. They have to see it 7 times. Microsoft did a study about this as well. They say it's more like 10 to 12 times, which shocks me. It absolutely blows me away that it takes that often for someone to get a message. But it's so noisy. And people just don't care about it. They don't care about it. And then finally, it's repeated, repeated, repeated. And they start to, it's finally starting to get through. And I just see this with businesses and church leaders. It's all kind of the same. But they start with a message, and they say it a couple times. And they're like, oh, people got it. They didn't get it. Trust me, they did not get it. Especially churchgoers. I said it on Sunday morning twice. Well, look at the church attendance numbers. People only show up to one in every three Sundays, right? One and two, depending on who you're talking to. So they only heard it maybe once, maybe none, when you said it on those 2 Sundays. So it's not getting through. And your key people, I think the problem is leadership. You're always talking to your key people, the people that are around you all the time and kind of hearing everything you're talking about. They'll be like, oh, yeah, I totally get that. Average person in your church, or especially newcomers or anything like that, nothing. Not even resonating whatsoever. You have to talk about it until you're blue in the face about it. It's actually called, in marketing, it's called message repetition. It's having that clear, bold message you say over and over and over and over again. And studies suggest that repeated statements are perceived as more truthful than statements made less frequently. So have you ever heard Dave Ramsey talks about this? Kat and I were talking about this last night. He talks about how if you repeat a message long enough, loud enough, with enough of an ad budget, you can actually get people to believe a lie. You can't. And we have the truth on our side, so we're good. But it's just, you got to think about the principle. If you repeat it over and over again, people will believe it. And if it's the clearer and bolder your message is, people are going to attach themselves to it, and they'll understand why it's important that they're part of your church, they're part of your mission, part of your vision. But you got to talk about it all the time. And so, and Ramsey talks about it and the idea of debt and how that there's good debt. And he says in the Bible, there's nothing about good debt. Everything is, debt is bad, 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 bad. But he said, if you look at your grandmother didn't have debt. She thought it was a terrible idea. But now everybody does it. It's because it's been aggressively marketed to you. Aggressively. And the other thing I was thinking about was, have you ever heard the people that say something like, well, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. That thing. It's just because they heard it 2 or 3 times. Well, everybody knows that. Well, you just heard that statement 3 times. It's probably not even true. And actually on the internet, it's a big issue of people just saying things over and over again that aren't true, that's not checked online, and people just believe it. You know, Donald Trump, who, you know, is crazy in many, many ways, but he's a masterful marketer. He gets people to believe lies. He honestly does. And even his slogan, Make America Great Again, that is a powerful slogan. It's a rallying point. You need a rallying point for your church. Every mass movement that you've ever seen has something like this. It's a rallying point. And politics is such a good example of this. It's because there's a clear winner and loser at the end of the day. So you kind of know who's marketing better. So I'll just give you a few examples. Obama, yes, we can. Ronald Reagan, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? The whole election is based off that. That's all he talked about, the whole election. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Since I'm crossing different political spectrums to be all nonpartisan, we'll talk about Justin Trudeau, real change, supporting the middle class. Real change, supporting the middle class. That's all he talked about during the election. He's a smart marketer. Marketing wins. That's how you get people to do things, is you have to be able to market to them. And it sounds kind of bad. It's like, oh, the Holy Spirit should do it. You know, God should do all this stuff. And, you know, there is truth to that. But I think you'd all agree, if you're senior leaders here, you have to be strategic in what you're doing. You can't just expect God to do it. You have to be very, very intentional about it. And the more intentional you are with it, the more people will respond to it, and the more success you will have building your ministries. And I have this kind of clicked over, but it's the idea of the elevator pitch. You've probably heard the elevator pitch, right? You have 30 seconds to a minute to be able to explain to somebody what your church is about. That's all you got typically, right? So it's a good test for you to do as a leader. Can you actually explain why people should care about your church and why they should come to it in 30 seconds? If you can't do it as a leader, do you think your followers are going to be able to do it? They ain't. It ain't going to happen. And it's so hard to develop that elevator pitch. And even now in modern day marketing, since it's so noisy and distracted out there. They actually describe it as like the escalator test, is that you're going up an escalator while someone's coming down, and you have to communicate your message in that time. So you have more like 5 to 10 seconds. That's all you got nowadays. Politics, they get this as well. It's sound bites. They talk about sound bites. The best politicians are able to communicate something really complicated in 20 to 30 seconds, because that's all the time you ever get. That's all the attention somebody gets. And the most valuable commodity in someone's life is attention. And luckily, on a Sunday morning, you have their attention for 30 minutes. That's a lot of time. That's a huge, huge benefit that you have. And the key thing as a church, what you want to do is you want everybody singing from the same music sheet, same choir sheet. Just like in a choir, if someone is talking from or singing from a different sheet, it's going to sound real bad. And you're going to start to have confusion and what's going on. And that person's like, is that person singing right? I'll sing it like them. And it gets confusing. And in politics, we call it message discipline. And one of my jobs was, before I worked in the Premier's office, I worked for the SAS party. And for the 2011 election, my job was to watch all of our 58 candidates to make sure they were all saying the same message across the province. If they didn't, it was my job to find out why, and then they would get a barrage of angry phone calls. Whoa. Seriously, that's how seriously we took it. Because you have to make sure you're saying the same thing, that you're unified, you're going forward, you're all singing from the same song sheet, it sounds good, message repetition, all of a sudden, boom, it's starting to connect with people, and man, you have a following after that. That's how it works. But there's good news. There's good news, I promise you, is that once you develop this, your one message, you never have to preach another sermon again. Pastors are actually really good at doing this, you guys. Like Andy Stanley is, you know, obviously a great leader and teacher and all that type of thing. He talks about the one-point sermons. This is just like developing a one-point sermon, but it's for your church. It's for your church, and you never have to change it. Breakfast of Champions, 1927. If you do it right once, you shouldn't have to do it again for a long time. And, you know, things can change once in a while. You know, every 5-10 years, maybe you want to refresh it or do something different. But if you can ideally develop something and keep it the same, it can last you a generation or two or longer, potentially. And when we're talking about generational legacy and that type of thing, man, if you could have something as a central rallying point for people to come around, that is an impact that will last through the generations. But you have to start it. You have to do the time. And I have another case study of how this just happened, because I was hired as part of Harvest City Church to really kind of handle their branding and try to develop this. So when I kind of came on staff, for two months, I honestly didn't do anything with this. I was like, I know I need to develop a brand strategy, but I started talking to people. I started talking to Dave Wells and Joel and different people in the church. And I was trying to get us, you know, I was there for about 5 or 6 years, so I already kind of knew a lot about the culture of the church, but I was like, what is the heart of this church? You can't make up your message. Do you know what I mean? It has to reflect the core of who your church is. It has to kind of align with your mission statement, and it has to also align with your leadership too. It shouldn't be just based solely on the leader. It's going to be in part a lot about the leader, because the leader has to communicate it. They're the, you know, kind of chief marketer in this whole situation. But it's got to come from the core. So I took a lot of time kind of figuring out what is the core of our church. And so I ended up getting the Saskatchewan Rough Riders branding strategy from a guy I know, and they have a very intentional branding strategy as well that has developed a mass following around the world for the riders. They're actually one of the most powerful brands in the world, from little old Regina, Saskatchewan, which is amazing. You go to Mexico, and you can find rider gear in a Mexican store, because the Canadians that go down there, they buy rider gear. It's absolutely insane. But they have such a strong brand, and they weave it into the fabric of Saskatchewan. If you're from Saskatchewan, if you've ever lived in Saskatchewan, you are a Rider fan. If you don't bleed green, what's wrong with you? Like, honestly, that's their brand. It's like Saskatchewan Riders. That it's interconnected, and they're very intentional with that. If you look at all their marketing, they're always talking about, why aren't you wearing your Rider shirt? There's one commercial I thought was really good. Why aren't you wearing your Rider shirt? Well, it's in the wash. Well, you should have 2 Rider shirts. What is wrong with you? You're from Saskatchewan. Don't you bleed green? That's one of their ads, right? So anyways, I got their brand strategy, and I kind of looked at what they did, and I stole a lot of ideas for Harvest City, but I had to come up with sort of the slogan at the end of the day. I kind of had the brand pillars set up, which I thought were pretty good. And the thing I always knew about Harvest City is that It's a very action-oriented church. And that's what I always felt when I came to Harvest City for the first time. It's like, okay, we're going to, what do you want to do? What's God calling you to do? You should go do it. I remember early on, it's like, oh, you should do a life group. You should do this. You should do that. I'm like, I just got here. Like, you don't even know me yet. You have so much trust in me. This is so weird. It was just like, oh, well, if God's calling you to do that, well, let's do it. And part of it's like, I think Joel kind of talks about, he's like, wow, we're a staff. We can't all do it. So you should just go do it. But I think it's great. So I was thinking about this, and how is this all going to work? We have an action-oriented church. Joel's always talking about how he doesn't want people sitting in the pews. We want people to take action. We want to, whatever God is calling them to do in their life, let's do it. We're going to support them, get behind them. And so at the end of the day, our three words that we haven't really unveiled yet to the church, to a few key people, and we're redoing our logos and stuff right now, but it's live your call. That's what it is, live your call. So if I had to do the escalator test, someone say, hey, you go to Harvest City Church, well, what's that church all about? We're a community of believers that come alongside you and help you live your call. That's what we do. That was about 10 seconds, right? And then once I have that 10 seconds, that's my quick little pitch, but then I can go on with stuff after that. But I have to have that key little pitch figured out. And then after that, I can say, yeah, they're a church that has inspired me to do what God's called me to do in my life. Because I know there's a purpose and a plan for me. I only got one shot at this whole life thing, and people are coming alongside me, and they're kind of kicking me out. They're like, you got amazing talents. You got amazing abilities. We're going to help you go there. We're going to help you take action. That's what we're about. We want to provide hope for you. We want to help you transform your life. And then after that, let's go do some awesome stuff for the kingdom. Let's go advance the kingdom together. You have unique talents and abilities. Let's make it happen. People are going to come alongside you. Let's go do it. Let's live your call. Live your call. So that's what we came down to. That's really hard to do, to make that. It's really hard to do. But now that we have that, all of a sudden your marketing becomes really simple. Because you can weave everything around that, right? So every time you have a story of somebody doing something cool in your church, hey, we got Sally here. She's taking over the women's ministry. It's just so great to see someone living their call, making life happen, whatever. God's kind of showed them how to do this. Boom. Brand awareness piece right there. Social media, there's so many different tactics and strategies you can do there, but every social media post can kind of be around the purposes of, has God called you to do this? And you got to step up and do it. Let's live your call. And you can even tell, like, as pastors, this is easy for you marketing now because you know how to preach the gospel in a million different ways. You know there's so many different angles to get at it, right? And so now it's like, oh, okay, I see this now. This is our message. This is who we, uniquely are, and we're going to come around that and weave everything into it. Just like keeping Saskatchewan strong, weave that into absolutely everything. And that's what you can do too, and then you never have to preach another sermon again. You want to think of a sermon series? Well, think about your calling and your destiny. And the other important thing to talk about here is it has to be a clear offer to people, your message. It has to be a clear offer. And the reason why it's live your call, not live a call or live the call or something like that, it's got to have you in there. And that's based on our current culture, unfortunately. It's like, oh, Derek, you're getting involved in the iPad culture, the me culture, humanism kind of culture. Sort of, I guess, if you want to call it that way. But we're being relevant in our culture right now because we're understanding what it's all about. We're not ignorant of our culture. And people are just naturally selfish, right? Are we talking real here? People are naturally selfish individuals. I'm naturally selfish. One of the reasons why I worked at the church and why I'm doing it is because, honestly, because Joel kind of said, this is going to be a way for you to kind of go where God wants you to go in your life. This is going to be a vehicle for you to do that and to live my call. Exactly. And so, yeah, and that kind of formed my opinions too of what we should have as a slogan. And I had to kind of sell it to Joel because he's like, is that who we really are? Is that who we really are as a core? And then he kind of thought of it. He's like, yes, now we finally have words to describe who we are. And you need words. Words are the most powerful thing that we have in this world. The Bible is words, right? If we didn't have the words in the Bible, we would be without a lot of stuff because we just have to do everything verbally and Hebrew, and even that's words. So you have to have language to describe who you are. It has to be articulate. It has to be bold. It's got to be powerful. It's got to pull people. It's got to be a clear offer of why they should care. Why should someone care that you exist? I don't know. For Harvest City Church, it's because we're going to help you live your call. That's what we're going to do. That's our offer to you. You can go somewhere else, and you know there's other good church slogans around, and we can get into some discussion right away and talk about those type of things. But I saw one recently from Victory Churches. I don't know if it's just in Regina, but it's No Perfect People. Is it everywhere? Yeah. Okay, so No Perfect People. And that's a pretty good slogan, actually. I don't know if that's the core of who they are. I actually grew up in a Victory Church. I would argue it's not their core of who they actually are, to be honest. But it's an interesting slogan. So that's... I don't know their core, so you got to consider that, right? But I know Church of the Rock here. You see their slogan everywhere, right? It's on their podcast. It's above, I saw it above the door over there. I'm sure it's in their marketing materials everywhere. It is... I call it being skewered into everything that you do. You have to have a shish kebab in marketing is what it's called. I heard one marketer talk about this. And it's the idea that your main message is the stick of the shish kebab. And everything you do, every piece of meat, every vegetable you put on that is skewered on that one message. And if you're not doing that, you're not making a nice shish kebab that people can actually eat and consume. It's just an interesting way to think about it, right? You got to skewer it all together. If you're not... message isn't working. It's not connecting. So if there's anything I can leave you with here, it's have one message. You got to develop it. It's really hard. But once you get it, man, you can really do a lot of stuff. And so from Harvest City's perspective, we're now in the process of rolling this all out. In the new year, we got to get this all out there. And so we're redoing the website. And one other tip I can provide really quick is that banner on the top of your website that all your newcomers are hitting off of Google when they come see you is incredibly important. Incredibly important. You look at any stats on websites and how people connect to the church. They always go to your website first. They'll go to your social media later, but they'll go to your website first. And what does it say up there? Is there a clear offer to newcomers? Your church website, sorry, is not for your church members. It is. There should be a place for them to go, but it's generally for new people that are trying to show up and to see if they actually want to come to a service. And after that, you can plug them into different things. But at the start, you got to have a clear offer of why they should show up, why they should care about you. What feeling are they going to get? What is your brand communicating when they go to your website? It's so vitally important because that's how the stats say people connect to their church. So that's it. We can get into some discussion here, see what you guys think about this. Am I making all this up? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. I don't think I am. But discussion, questions, what do you think?
Oh, you got it on. Okay. Thank you. So, this is a bit of a play off this to like for promotion, but when it comes to social media platforms today, you know, there's so many ways you can go, right? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that. So, you talk about focusing, right? Well, what in your mind with Harvest City? What's the best platform? Like, how do you do this so it synergizes, but it doesn't take too much time?
Yeah, social media can be quite overwhelming. I get that. That's kind of been my forte for a long time, and I find it overwhelming. It changes every, like, 2 months, it seems, how everything works, right? But your biggest and the best bang for your buck is Facebook. There's just, like, you have to start with a Facebook business page. If you don't have a Facebook business page, you're missing out on establishing a following there that's going to grow. You can do advertising through that very cheaply. The CPM for Facebook, which is the cost per 1,000, is a stupid acronym, but it's the cost per 1,000 people reached, is about $6 in advertising. So you can reach 1,000 people for $6. That's pretty good. That's underpriced attention. There's lots of stories of churches doing sermon promos and that type of thing, and with, you know, a few $100 attracting 30, 40, 50, 60 people to the church. It's pretty common, actually. We haven't done too much of it yet, but we're planning to do a lot more, but we're getting our message figured out first. That's kind of our main step. But it's very easy to boost posts to your targeted area, and man, the targeting on Facebook is incredible. It changes all the time, so it's complicated, but that's one of the things I do for businesses is I hyper-target people, and I generate leads for companies. And so I can target people based on their interests, their age, where they live, and a variety of other things. And then once they engage with some of my content, I can retarget them with other things. And it's honestly a miracle that you can do that. Like marketers 50 years ago, they'd think that's some sort of demonic powers that you can do that. Honestly, they'd be like, that is insane. If we could do that. And like churches nowadays and businesses, they're ignorant of that. Honestly, it drives me crazy because it's you have so much power at your fingertips, but it is hard to figure out. But like I know young people that do this type of work and they're making like tens of thousands of dollars a month doing this type of thing because they just figured it out. And so anyways, that's a long answer to Facebook's your number one. I think Instagram's your number two. And it's because Facebook and Instagram are connected. And you can do advertising from the Facebook ads platform to Instagram, which is very helpful. So Twitter's also pretty good, but stats, there's not as many people on Twitter. YouTube also very powerful. But again, depending on your resources, you can't do everything, right? So you have to kind of pick your poison. But I think the first thing you got to do is a Facebook business page, and you start it from there, and then you add things on after that, depending on your audience. Obviously, your sermons and everything can go up on YouTube. They should go up on YouTube. It's the second biggest search engine in the world. So use YouTube. It connects really well with Google, so because Google owns YouTube. And then your church and all your messages get ranked high in Google when people are searching for whatever topics. So they'll discover you that way as well. So,
Derek, supplementary question to this. I'll talk loud. Almost every church has got a website now. Almost every church is putting their sermons on their website. My big question for them is anybody looking at them? And not being critical, but in your opinion, what would be the most effective way to use those kinds of things? Like, would you put your whole message on? Would you just put a clip? Talk to us about what would be the best way to utilize that.
Sure. From politics, what I learned is people do not watch 30-minute videos very often. Yeah. They do sometimes. Like, your sermon is like 30 to 45 minutes. You're not going to get very, very many viewers on that. It just ain't going to happen. So, especially because, this is a tough criticism, but like, there's way better speakers than most of us out there. Like, Stephen Furtick, Rick Warren, all these guys, they have massive followings, and all their podcasts and stuff, they're all viewed by like, I listen to those guys. And like, I listen to Harvest City and Church of the Rock and everything as well, too. But it's just something to consider about. It's kind of a hard truth, but there's world-class teaching at everyone's fingertips, so why would they pick yours? So what I think is the most helpful thing to do is to break up a sermon into a minute clip. That's what we try to do, is put it into about a minute, and then you put it on social media, you can put it on Instagram, you can put it on stories, you can do it all that, and then you get kind of a quick hitter for people because, again, noisy, distracted culture, you don't have their attention for very long, and it can work. Now, there's other things out there that I think are quite good instead of, like, putting up your sermon online is pretty easy, so I would still recommend doing that because it's kind of like a service for your church members. I know Doug and I have kind of talked about that a bit. It's like, okay, if we do Facebook Live, is anyone really going to watch it? A few people will, but it's kind of more like as a service to your people, but don't spend $1 million on it either if you don't have a big church that's going to attract a big following, right? So, yeah, I would break your sermons up into little chunks and get somebody to help you with that. And then put that on social media. And then you can link to your bigger sermon. But that's probably the easiest tactic, I would say, with doing that. But then there's longer form. There's a growing trend of longer form audio and video online that's working. Like, working really, really well. And it's because young people are not listening to music as much anymore. We're actually starting to listen to podcasts more, especially people in bigger cities because they have long commutes. And so they kind of almost get bored with music, and so they're listening to podcasts. So what you can do now is, you can just have interviews with some of your staff and some of your people, and you can put that up on a podcast or a video podcast or go Facebook Live with it. And that longer form content is actually pretty good. Like, I was at a speech with Jordan Peterson, if you know him. He's a psychology professor of all things, but he became pretty famous because he started just going on YouTube and doing like long form lectures, or like 3-hour long lectures. And no one thought people would watch him, but he had really interesting content, and people listened to him double speed on YouTube, which is pretty interesting. And then he's like, I didn't go through the traditional media to get famous. He's like, I just went on people's podcasts. And some of these podcasts, like Joe Rogan, I can't remember how many, he has like 2 billion followers or something on his podcast. He's one of the most popular podcasts out there, but he's more powerful than CNN. And so you have to, I could do a whole talk about this too, but Brad Wall's social media, by the end, it took a while to build the brand and to build everything on social media, but we were more powerful than traditional media just on social because we built up a huge, huge following, and we could announce things on Facebook and Twitter, and the media would just cover what we announced. which is kind of interesting, right? So, you know, a lot of companies nowadays, especially if you're a bigger company and a bigger church, you can start to do this, is you turn your church into its own news channel. And you can, you know, you can be on TV as well, traditional TV, but you can also have your own TV channel just from the internet. And it's incredibly powerful. So it's, you know, that's sort of some crazy stuff that you can try someday, and you need a big staff and lots of time to do that. But that's something that really is happening, is that anybody can become their own TV station now. Like I kind of said, Brad Wall was his own newspaper for a while. He could editorialize whenever he wanted, and he had a newspaper without all the losses.
Yeah, that's good.
We're out of time.
All right,
Derek, one last
question. Okay, we have one question.
Any recommended resources for all this stuff regarding Facebook content, targeting? Oh, that's all picky stuff, but I'm curious.
Oh, I hate to recommend this in a church, but I'm going to say Gary Vaynerchuk. It's hard. Why I don't want to recommend him is because he drops a lot of F-bombs in his in his content. But if you follow him, he's probably the number one person for, like, you can just follow him on social media and he'll teach you everything there. But he has a ton of really good books out. The best book that I know is called Jab, 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 Right Hook. And what he talks about is in your communications on social media, what you need to be doing is providing a high level of value for people in jabs before you ever kind of hit them with a right hook of an offer. So you're providing really cool, inspirational content over and over and over again. Jab, 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 jab. And then finally it's like, hey, give to our church, come to church. And so it's like you're basically being intentional about your branding and you're weaving your message into these little jabs over time. And people are starting to get to know you. And you can do this through paid advertising or from organic search or organic reach on social. The difference is nowadays it's becoming pay to play on Facebook. Facebook's at war with business pages. And so it's really hard to get organic reach nowadays. So it's you kind of have to have a little bit of a marketing budget. You don't have to have a huge budget, but you should be boosting things nonstop on Facebook. And we're going to be getting there as a church eventually. So it's kind of pay to play to get some paid advertising and some organic. But yeah, so what you're doing is your jab, 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 right hook. And then as for, so that's a good, really good book. The other resource, and I listened to this audiobook, fantastic book. It's called Story Brand. And I thought that was one of the best branding books I've ever read. I've read a lot of them. And that was a very clear book of what you're supposed to do. And they actually have a website you can go to called mystorybrand.com, and they talk about developing your message as a story and how it's like your message as a church should read like a movie, but you also need to, it's complicated, right? Because you have to compress it into one statement at the end of the day. But movies do this too. Every movie, when it's pitched, it has to be explained in a sentence in order to be kind of a movie eventually, right? So if you think of like a movie like Tommy Boy, well, it's the incompetent son whose dad dies and has to take over the business to keep it out of the hands of some evil, his new evil auntie and uncle. That was like the plot of the movie in a sentence, and it has to describe that. But you kind of describe the whole movie in a sentence. And so how he talks about it in StoryBrand is you have to describe your whole church, the story of your church, what you're going to do, where you're going, in a sentence. And they have a thing online called mystorybrand.com where it kind of walks you through the steps of how to do that. And that's a really good resource.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.